Glory to God. Thank you for joining us and welcome whatever platform you are joining us on tonight. I'm very, very thankful that you made the time and very excited, you know, just understanding the value of the Word of God and the opportunity, how precious these opportunities are. Do you know there's so many people all over the world who wish they could come around the Word as often as we do and don't have that privilege? Some of them will do anything just to lay their hands on a Bible or to be able to get to a Bible study where someone can teach them the Word, be able to read, be able to hear the voice of God like we do. And unfortunately, many people don't have that privilege. But we are so blessed, and we ought to be thankful. We ought to always be thankful to God and never take these privileges for granted. We're talking about prayer, still discussing the seven most important PowerPoints in praying for yourself. And this continues to get better. It continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's just so exciting. And I want us to dive in tonight. We have so much ground to cover. We obviously never really finish the things that we have. But praise God, we have another opportunity next week to come around the Word. And I trust God that you are taking some notes. I trust God that you are making time to at least look over some of the things that we are learning together and refreshing your mind, refreshing your spirit, refreshing your understanding in these areas. I'm going to do a very, very, very brief review of some of the things that we've already learned, and then I'm going to get into some of the things that the Lord has for us tonight. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. What have we been learning lately? About asking. We've been talking about asking. The word ask, the practice of asking, which is the next PowerPoint that we have been studying. And I'm going to ask you again, please put aside whatever preconceived notions you may have about this concept. Let's approach the Word of God like little children, like we didn't even know anything about this before these teachings. And let's have a fresh understanding, fresh impartation of the Word of God in our spirit so that we can actually move forward in these areas of our spiritual lives. 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything — ask is what we're studying — if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. This has been our first foundational scripture that we have been using. But we've also looked at a few other scriptures on asking. And we're going to kind of review some of those. And I'm going to add one that I've omitted, which is very powerful, regarding corporate praying, the prayer of agreement when multiple believers come together and actually ask for the same thing, how powerful that is. I'm going to kind of interject that into my review material tonight before I go on to the materials that the Lord will have us study in this service. So look at what it says. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything — I love that — ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know, we learned, we already saw this in James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, that the reason we don't have is because we don't ask. If we don't ask, we don't have. And sometimes we ask, but we ask amiss. So we are learning in this series of lessons how to ask, and how to ask right, how to ask aright, not amiss. Amen. So He says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. We've looked at a few ask scriptures, especially in the Gospels. Let's just quickly run through those again tonight. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 from verse 7 to 11. It says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." Let's leave the rest of the verses, because that's where we know he was talking about. God always gives us better. He doesn't give us worse, he gives us better. But in the Amplified, it says, "Keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. And he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened." The door will be opened. So ask. That's what the Lord was telling them. Ask. And don't just ask the one time and give up. Ask and keep on asking. And when you come back to ask, when you have already asked, this time remember you already asked and let that factor into how you ask the next time. Ask, trusting the Lord that he's heard you and he's doing something about it. So ask with thanksgiving. Ask, thanking him that he's already working on what you asked for. We know that same scripture is repeated in Luke chapter 11 from verse 9 to 13. Essentially, the same thing that Dr. Luke was reporting in this scripture, Luke chapter 11 from verse 9 to 13. He says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You will not be denied." When you ask according to the will of God, you will not be denied. When you ask according to the instruction that we have received from the Lord, you will not be denied. Amen. So ask and keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking. I have an alarm going off, but don't worry about it. It's going to quit in just a minute. So ask and keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking, and you will not be denied. Let's look at that scripture, extremely powerful scripture in Matthew chapter 21. This is one of those scriptures that we actually memorized earlier in the year. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 21 and 22. Matthew 21 verses 21 and 22. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if you shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." Now notice verse 22. "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. I really like that, because we're given a blank check to ask. It says, all things whatsoever we shall ask in prayer, believing, we shall receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at that scripture that I was referring to earlier that talks about when believers come together and pray together, when they pray in agreement. I really like this scripture because, you know, we have a very powerful, a very dedicated intercessory ministry here at Abundant Life. And so many of our precious saints who esteem the place of prayer, this place, the place of corporate prayer. And I just really want to say something about that tonight, because the Lord did in Matthew chapter 18. I want us to see how the Lord underscored the power of the prayer of agreement. When we ask and we ask for the same thing and we ask together, there is such power that is generated in that. So when there are teams of people that pray together, whether they are remote, whether they are together in person, whether as long as they are together in spirit, and they are praying as one body, there is such power that is released through that corporate anointing. I want us to read it together. In Matthew 18, verse 18 to 20, this is what the Lord said in verse 18. Verily, I say unto you, and I'm going to come back sometime, I don't know if it's in this service or later on in another teaching service, because there's some aspect of our asking that I would like to teach out of this particular verse of scripture here. But the Lord said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth, whatsoever, he doesn't qualify it, what anything, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever. He doesn't qualify it. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This Amplified says whatever you forbid will be forbidden. Whatever you permit will be permitted. As the power that we have been given, the authority we have been given through Christ. Now listen to verse 19. It says, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree, any two of you, doesn't say just two of you, but any two of you, and you see in a minute he actually expands it. He's just using that as if there is more than one person in a team, in a corporate sense that is coming together to ask for the same thing. How much power that corporate anointing generates for them. He says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, I like that. We're seeing all these anythings whatsoever's in the instruction that the Lord gave us regarding asking. He says, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth, hallelujah, two of you, can be people, two people related, can be two people totally unrelated, I mean by blood. Two people in the same family, two people in the same household, or two people totally disconnected from their physical environment. It can be two people or more living across continents. There is such a corporate anointing and a power that is generated when we ask together, when we ask for the same thing. It says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father, which is in heaven. It shall be done for them by my Father, which is in heaven. Then he says in verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Of course, the Amplified Bible says, there I am, and he uses the capital letters I am. So he means I will be I am, where there is two or three or more gathered together in my name. And we'll talk about this sometime later on, the power in the name of Jesus when we use that in prayer. That's part of what we're gonna learn about. I don't believe we're gonna get to it tonight, but just keep that in your spirit and keep that stored up, because we're coming there. I'm super excited just about the understanding and the revelation that is in that concept by itself alone. It says, for wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be I am. That is, he will be right there. He will be I am that I am, right there. Now, there's something, though, that I need to qualify, that the Bible tells us very clearly. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. He said, if two of you, or we know two or more of you, shall agree on earth. Sometimes that's where we lose some ground in the place of prayer. It says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, so two are better than one. The Bible tells us that two are always better than one. It's always more powerful for two people to come into agreement over something than for one person to be asking for that one thing. There's always a corporate anointing that is generated when two or more people come together to agree and ask for the same thing. Now, we have to qualify this though, because two are not always better than one in the place of prayer. And I'll tell you why that is so. That might be surprising to you, but you see why. Two are not always better in the place of prayer. Because sometimes two are actually negating one another in the place of prayer. Sometimes you can have two people come together and say, oh, let's agree. Somebody can say, oh, brother or sister, can you please, let's agree together over this. Or two people of, you know, similar thoughts or similar persuasions are trying to pray over something and they say, oh, let's agree together. And while when they come together and they say, we want to agree together, the areas and the places and the times when two are not better than one are the times when instead of fully agreeing on that thing they are asking, they are actually praying crosswise of one another. And so they may say, yeah, we are praying in agreement, but they're really not praying in agreement because one person may be praying one thing and another may be praying something totally different. Give you a good example. Somebody might pray, so two people come together, two or more people, where this corporate anointing is already there. The Lord says, I will be, I am. The power of the Holy Spirit is there to usher their prayers and their requests before the Father. And one of them begins to say, Father, we know it is your will. It is your will that this is done. And so we ask of you that you do this, that you bring it to pass according to your word. That's powerful. But the other persons or some of the other people might be praying, Lord, we don't really know what your will is. Just let your will be done. If it is your will that this gets done, let it get done. If it is not your will, then Lord, let it never get done. We just want your will to be established. And Lord, we just trust you that you bring to pass. There's nothing wrong with that prayer either. The only problem is when we come together. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When we come together and we say we want to be in agreement and we want answers to our prayers, to the things that we ask for, we can't be going, oh, if it is your will, or if it is not your will. No, we can't go, we can't do that. We can't have some people say, Lord, it is your will, so do it. And in the same breath, the same people that we are agreeing with, some other people say, Lord, we don't know. So if it is, do it. If it is not, oh, that's just a loose example. There's so many other areas of prayer where people come together, quote unquote, in agreement, but they are praying two different things. And in those situations and in those circumstances, two are not better than one. You are better off, you one person who knows the word of God, you've interacted and fellowshiped with the Holy Spirit on this matter, you've sought the mind of God regarding it, you have the word of God, the scriptures that you are standing on, there's conviction and faith and confidence in your heart, just go right ahead and present that to the Lord. You definitely don't need people saying, well, if it is, if it is not. No, no, no. Because then that waters down. Because whatever you come together in agreement with somebody else to pray about immediately makes your prayers one. It immediately marries your prayers together. So if that agreement is not total, what is being married is something that is not going to work. Because one person is here saying, Lord, yes, I expect you to do it. The other person is saying, Lord, we're not sure if it is your will. So, I know you have this understanding. But when two or more of us come together, our teams of prayer warriors, teams of prayer praying believers, oh, hallelujah. When we come together with the same voice, that's going to be something like what the Tower of Babel actually mirrored or actually almost was like a picture of. When they came together and they had one language, they were in complete agreement. The Bible says there in Genesis, I think it's Genesis 11, He says, nothing they have determined will be withdrawn, will be taken away from them. You know that scripture. I believe it's Genesis 11. They came together, they were going to build a tower to heaven. I want you to consider that a sort of prayer or an analogy for prayer. Look at it. In Genesis 11, verse 3, they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. That's like prayer. Let's believe God for this. Let's ask God in prayer for that. That's like prayer. That may go up to heaven, they said. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. I love that. Now, the Lord himself said that. So you see, there is a power. Hallelujah. I don't want to take too much time on this, but I know I left that off of some of our preliminary scriptures on asking earlier on in our teachings on this subject, and it came in my spirit. I'd like us to talk about it. There is so much power unleashed upon God's people when we come into agreement in prayer. The prayer of agreement is a prayer Satan cannot resist. Sometimes he can even fight and limit and stop one person's prayer. But when we come together in agreement, like the Lord said here, when they agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. Because there's a corporate anointing that is released upon them to receive. Is a corporate anointing that is released by the Holy Spirit to help them, to usher those things that they ask for into the presence of God. So such power, and I want to thank God for everyone here that is a dedicated corporate praying believer. You pray with other believers. You are in teams of prayer, prayer warriors and other dedicated teams of prayer. You are doing an amazing job. That's an amazing ministry. Because there's so much power that you are generating. Sometimes we don't even realize how powerful what the Lord is doing through our corporate praying is. But it's exactly like what we read in Genesis 11. Nothing will be restrained from them. Nothing will be withheld from them. Nothing will be impossible to them that they have imagined. Hallelujah. So that is the prayer of agreement. When any two or more people agree together, and their language becomes one, oh, that prayer is so powerful. And I encourage you, saying sometimes we actually ought to reach out to people and say, hey, agree with me on this. And then before you get into that, you share your foundational scriptures. You say what exactly you are believing God for. You've done your homework. You know what you want to ask for is what the Lord has ordained and planned for you to have. And then both of you or more of you get into that thing and just go off in the spirit. It's like a rocket that goes off to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, that's where he says, whatsoever you bind on earth is all in the same breath. And anything you permit will be permitted. And anything you declare to be unlawful is declared unlawful. That's it. Hallelujah. You're going to see a few more aspects of this express anointing in the place of prayer as we go along. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, let's take a look real quickly. Our time is going here, and I'm still doing reviewing. That's, well, I hadn't really had us discuss the prayer of agreement before now, asking together as one. So I'm glad we took the time to do that. But I want you to go back there with me to our grandfather scripture on asking. This is that grandfather scripture we've talked about in Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm just going to read just the one verse because of time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Look at what it says. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Listen, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. So our asking is the basement level, is the, when we ask, that is, that marks the minimum that God wants to do. God always wants to do more than what we ask. I know that lately I've been using this expression, we ask for so much less. And if you want, you can make it a hashtag, because that's what I made it in one of the messages I sent out a few weeks or a few days ago. Hashtag, we ask for so much less, but God gave us so much more. See, that is the spirit of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Hashtag, we ask for so much less, but God gave us so much more. That's what he always does. He wants to do exceeding abundantly. When we ask, what we ask for is the basic minimum of what the Lord wants to do. The Lord always wants to do more. He always wants to give us more, do better. He always wants to do greater than what we ask for. This is why asking is so powerful. Because the moment we ask, fulfilling all of the requirements that we are learning regarding asking, and there's so much to learn, you're going to see it as we go along. Hallelujah. I pray you're able to stick with us and you're able to grow in this area of your knowledge and understanding of prayer, this aspect of praying, because this is so crucial. This is so important. Many times people say they are praying, but they're really not praying because they are not asking. Sometimes they are talking about the issue. Sometimes they are singing about it. Sometimes they are crying, just crying about it. Just emotional and crying. There's nothing wrong with that. But there comes a time after we've done all of the stuff that we feel like doing, we feel like expressing out of ourselves, then we've got to kind of clear our eyes and say, okay, I've got to ask now. What is it I want to ask? And then we've got to articulate and begin to ask the Lord in very clear terms what it is that is in our spirit, that is in our heart. Amen. So he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hallelujah. He always does so much more than what we ask for. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we learned last week, what is the definition of asking? What does it mean to ask? And we learned a very simple definition. To ask is to articulate your request and present it confidently with expectation of a favorable response. Let's go over that again. To ask is to articulate your request and present it confidently with expectation of a favorable response. So there are three parts to what it means to ask. The first part is articulate your request. Start from there. Articulate it. And I want to show you a couple of scriptures where requests are articulated. To give you a very good example, I want to give you this scripture, show you these scriptures out of the epistles, out of Apostle Paul's own writing and praying and instructions regarding praying. So the first part, first component of asking, articulate your request. The second part of it, present it confidently. The third part of it, have expectation of a favorable response. Let's do that together, wherever you are. Let's go over those three aspects. I know we learned it before. Yeah, you say we're just revising it. Yeah, I'm reminding you about it because I don't want you to forget. Let's go over those three aspects of asking again. Number one, articulate your request. Number two, present it confidently. Number three, have expectation for a favorable response. In just a minute here, we're going to again read the story of the leper. We read that. Probably don't need to refer to that again, but I'm just going to read through that. And then I want us to go to the story of blind Bartimaeus tonight. I want us to read and use that as an analogy for prayer. What we're talking about asking, what we're learning about asking. I want us to see the connection between what happened to blind Bartimaeus and what we are learning tonight, the all-important thing tonight about asking. So one more time, what are the three components that make up asking? Number one, articulate your request. Whatever that request is, articulate it. Number two, present it confidently to the Lord. Present it, not to people, to the Lord. Number three, have expectation for a favorable response. Glory be to God. All right. Now, I want you, this articulate your request, just want to show you a couple of scriptures here that blessed me immensely and that I believe are going to bless you in the understanding of articulating your request. And we're going to see that again when we go to read both the story of the leper and the story of blind Bartimaeus in just a minute. But let's look at Romans chapter 1, the first chapter of Romans. This is right here in Paul's writing. And I want you to see how he describes articulating your request. Romans chapter 1 from verse 9 to verse 12. Listen to Apostle Paul now. He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." You see now, he's talking about prayers. He's talking about his praying, his regular, ongoing praying. And he's talking about how he prays for the believers in Rome. But I want you to see how he describes the way he articulates his request to the Lord. Let's read that verse again, verse 9. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Verse 10, "making requests." Listen to that. Making requests. That is articulating requests. Making, that is specifically articulating what I'm asking. He says, "I pray for you all the time." Yes, praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Apostle Paul. He prays for them all the time. Thank you. But what exactly do you ask for when you pray? Sometimes people say, "Yeah, I'm praying for you. But really, all it is they think about the person's situation. Say, I pray that the Lord does something about it. But they haven't really given sufficient thought to articulating specific requests about the need that that person has presented. Paul said, "I pray for you all the time." Then he said in verse 10, "making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you." Oh, okay. I'm praying for you, but I'm articulating my request to the Lord that I want to be able to make a trip to come to you. Oh, why is that so important, Brother Paul? Because in coming to you, I hope to be able to do certain things with you to energize your faith and enhance and encourage your relationship with God. See, he's articulating, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Verse 11. For I long to see you, so that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. Now, he's praying, but look at how he's articulating his requests. Look at what he's asking for. I'm praying for you, but I'm asking, I want to be able to come to you by the will of God. I know there is a specific time and a specific way in which the will of God will release me to come to you. I'm asking for that. I'm also asking that in coming to you, I may have the opportunity to impart to you some spiritual gift. I'm not just coming to have a love feast, to share a meal, to eat together and laugh together and watch a movie. Nothing wrong with all of that, but that's not really my goal for coming to you. My goal for coming to you is I want to be able to impart some spiritual gift. Glory to God, glory to God. All of this in the pod of prayer. He's articulating his request to the Father. I want to be able to impart to you some spiritual gift, and to the end that you may be established. Ultimately, my goal is that you may be established. Maybe there are things that had happened with these believers that had made them shaky, made them uncertain, made them tenuous with their faith. But he desires to impart certain spiritual gift to them, to establish them. You can see he's working in that apostolic anointing, because that's what the apostolic office does. It establishes believers in grace and truth. And Paul is saying, I want to be able to do that. Now, my ultimate goal is to establish you, but there are some benefits for me as well, he says. Verse 12, that is, that I also may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and I. Hallelujah. So that word comfortable, we are all edified and encouraged. His articulation, I'm going to move on here because of time. But you are getting this. The Holy Spirit is showing you this, is that asking is articulating. It's articulating your request. You can't just, yeah, I'm praying, but you are not articulating. What do you want the Lord to do? What exactly are you asking the Lord for? I'm not asking you to tell the Lord how you want him to do it. I want you to tell the Lord how. The Lord is teaching us tonight. The Holy Spirit is teaching us tonight to tell the Lord what we want him to do. What we want, what we desire, what our request is the first part of asking. Articulate your request. Present it confidently and have expectation of a favorable response. That's it. Hallelujah. Paul shows us right there. I got to move on because of time, but I could hang out here for a little bit. I could just hang out here for a little bit and dig into Paul's prayer and his articulation here. But I want you to see one other scripture that you are very familiar, all of us are familiar with this, in Philippians chapter 4. Go there with me to Philippians chapter 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. What are we talking about, saints? Asking. What is the definition of asking? What are the three components to asking? Number one, articulate your request. Yeah, I want you to say, don't just look at me. Articulate your request. Number two, present it confidently. Amen. Number three, have expectation of a favorable response. Have expectation of a favorable response. Articulate your request. Present it confidently. Have expectation of a favorable response. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's read this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request, articulate your request. Tell the Lord what you want Him to do about it. Hallelujah. Tell the Lord, articulate your request. Make your request known unto God. That's asking. That's asking. Let's go and look at a man who articulated his requests before the Lord. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're not going to go look at the leper. We read about the leper last time. So we already learned some things about what. But let's go on to Mark chapter 10. While our time is running, I want us to be able to close in time tonight. Mark chapter 10. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Somebody say, we feel so blessed. Feel so blessed. Receiving. Understanding and grace in His presence. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read from verse 46 in Mark chapter 10. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. See, he was a beggar man. He sat by the highway side begging. Verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing by, he began to cry out. Obviously, he knew something about Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard stories about Jesus of Nazareth. This is one of my all-time favorite scriptures in talking about praying and the dynamics of praying, the essential requirements that make prayer work. One of them is articulating. And you see that here. Blind Bartimaeus had heard a lot about Jesus. He heard the different things you and I have read in the Gospels about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when blind Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus passing by, notice, he started to cry out. Verse 47, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, a lot of people relate with prayer as just crying out, right? Many people would define or describe or express prayer as just crying out. But prayer isn't just crying out. Prayer is articulating your request, presenting it confidently, and expecting a favorable response. So blind Bartimaeus started to cry out, but then he started to say something. He started to articulate. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, verse 48, you see where his confidence shows up here. Verse 48, many people charged him that he should hold his peace. Hey, keep quiet. You know, this is there are more important things Jesus wants to do here. They told him, keep quiet. But the Bible says he cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David. And he wasn't just boo-hooing. He wasn't just boo-hoo, boo-hoo. No. He cried, but then he was articulating, you son of David, have mercy on me. And because he articulated his request and presented it confidently, to start off, he caught Jesus' attention. The Bible says in verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded them to bring him, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, oh, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Thank God he didn't depend on them for his comfort. Thank God he didn't depend on them for his answers. He wasn't crying to them. He was crying to Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David. Hallelujah. He knew where the source of his miracle was. And so he stood still, commanded him, and they called the blind man, he's calling you. And in verse 50, he cast away his garment. That man is confident. For the first time, possibly, in a long time, or ever in his life, he cast away his blind beggar's garment. He believes something is about to happen. He expects some miracle is going to happen to him. He cast away his garment. He rose up. He came to Jesus. Verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto you? The blind man answered and said, he didn't move, oh Lord, I don't know, I just do anything. No. The blind man answered and said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He didn't say, Lord, Jesus, can't you see I'm blind? Why are you asking me what I want you to do for me? Can't you see I'm blind? You can see me crying. You should know. You should know you're a prophet, you're a servant, you're the son of God. You should know why I'm here. You should know my story. He didn't go into all of that. He said, Lord, very simple, articulated this request, that I might receive my sight. Lord, I want to receive my sight. Articulating your request. Lord, I want to receive my sight. I want to be able to see. Lord, I want to be able to see. I don't care how you do it, but I want to be able to see, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, verse 52, go your way, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want you to see those three components of asking in blind Bartimaeus' experience. Number one, he articulated his request. From the get-go, once he heard it was Jesus, he cried out, but he started articulating his request. Number two, he presented it confidently. I want to receive my sight. I want to receive my sight. And when they told him, keep quiet, no, I'm not. He cried out even louder and kept articulating, presented it confidently. And number three, expected a favorable response. He expected. He threw away his garment, his blind beggar's garment. I believe today is my day for a miracle. I believe today the story of my life will change. I believe this is the day when Jesus will rewrite the story of my life. Hallelujah. He threw away the blind beggar's garment. I'm not going to need this garment anymore. From today, I'm not going to need this blind beggar's garment anymore. He had expectation of a favorable response. Asking. Asking. Ask and keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking. If you ask and you keep on asking, you will receive. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you for your mighty presence amongst us tonight. Thank you for the teaching grace and the teaching anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for opening our eyes and granting us illumination in your word. Thank you for showing us and making your grace so much more available to us to be able to enter into understandings that we had not had before, levels of revelation and knowledge that we had not contacted before. We give you the glory and the praise. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. Receive the praise. Receive the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.